Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, a podcast milestone, Ravelry's needle inventory, seaming woes and successes, of the sea in action, and being serially unfaithful. Hello and welcome to episode 50. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. I'm delighted to be bringing you episode 50, can you tell? This podcast is never going to trouble the iTunes Hot 100, partly because I've never succeeded in working out how to get it onto iTunes. It's not for want of trying, but I'm a Linux, Ubuntu, open source, Android kind of girl, not an iTunes one, so I've never really got to grips with it. But anyway, I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. Since taking so long to finish Of the Sea, which is an Aran men's jumper, if you want to hear more about that, just look on the last couple of episodes, I've really found it hard to keep up with my revived knitting mojo. I want to knit 15 different things all at once and spend all day long doing it. But unfortunately, my left hand has had other ideas. It's been very achy, not only when I'm knitting, but now as a knock-on when I'm cooking, when I'm driving, when I'm shopping, and food shopping, I don't do the other sort, and all that sort of thing. So I'm having to be very strict now and stop knitting as soon as I start to feel that buzzy feeling. Once or twice, I used to be very strict, then recently, because I've wanted to knit so much, I've ignored it and I've kept going and I have really come to regret it. So I now have to be really, really strict, which obviously means every time I have to stop knitting way before I want to. But despite that, I've made amazing progress on the Barocco Design Studio's March Basic cardigan. It's just been absolutely streaming off my needles and I'm now very much on the home straight. I'm not quite finished, so the pattern review will have to wait till next week. But I did want to talk about seaming methods, because these have really caused me some headaches, and I'm very much at that stage now. It's all seam, seam, and seam a bit more. I've made only two cardigans. The first one was the subject of the very first podcast, and this is the second. So I started the podcast in April 2016, so we're pretty much 18 months on. And the two cardigans so far, they've had different constructions and different treatments of the front band. So this is the band that runs round the front, round the back of the neck of the cardigan, starts at one bottom front edge, rolls round the back of your neck, down the front to the other edge. And if it's a cardigan with buttons, this is where your buttons and your buttonholes will be. March Basic requires you to knit this 8-stitch wide band in two halves, and then you seam it to the left and right front pieces of the cardigan, and you seam the two ends together at the back of the neck. The seaming method stipulated in the pattern was slip stitch. This is a crochet stitch, which is commonly used to seam together the squares on a blanket. I've never done it before, partly because it has the C word in it. I'm always very nervous about crochet. But as I was reading around trying to find a tutorial, I read a comment somewhere that it was the flattest method of seaming. And I thought, I want to do this because it's what it's telling me to do, and I have to be good about these things and not always stay in my comfort zone. But also, I didn't want a lumpy effect in the end. I wanted to have a nice smooth finish, so I thought, okay, well, this is then what I will do. But my first attempt was not successful. I'd gone about two-thirds of the way up, I had to go and look at a tutorial, dig out a crochet hook and all the rest of it. And after I'd seamed two-thirds of this first half, I did something silly with the crochet hook, and all the seaming that I'd done just pulled straight out. I'm still not sure what I did, and it's funny because on the rare occasions I ever do anything with a crochet hook, I always feel quite insecure with just the one hook and just that wee little thing at the top of the stick keeping it, I'm so cack-handed, that's just a disaster waiting to happen. I won't describe that my seaming coming out as a disaster, but I was a bit peeved about it, but it's all down to my inexperience as a crocheter. So at that point, I was thinking, oh, sod it, you know, life's too short, I'm going to abandon this and I'm going to use mattress stitch. But I thought, no, you know, if I'm going to be a proper grown-up knitter, I need to follow the pattern. I can't give up, you know, the first time it kind of goes a bit wrong, especially on a biggish project like this where, you know, it matters. So I persevered with the slip stitch, and I found a tin can knit tutorial, and it went much better. It was much more secure, and the actual action was fine. Although occasionally I wondered if I was putting my hook through quite the right part of everything that you had to put your hook through, but oh, you know, it's fine. So I seamed it all up, both halves. I kitchenered the two ends at the back of the neck, wove everything in, and I don't know about you, you've probably got more self-control than I have, but without blocking it or sewing on the buttons, I flew upstairs and tried it on. As I'd been going along doing the seaming, I could see that the front of the cardigan was puckering slightly, but I thought, well, I've not done this before, it might sort itself out in the end, or maybe this is meant to happen and the cardigan's meant to have this slightly pulled effect into the band or something. But when I looked at this nearly finished article actually on me, I could see it was just a fail. One side was worse than the other. Interestingly, the first side that I had done was worse than the second half, indicating maybe I'd learnt something from doing that first half. But the puckering was so bad that not only were both sides distorted, but one side was actually noticeably shorter than the other. So I knew I couldn't leave it like that. Well, I suppose I could have and just stuck it in the back of the drawer and never worn it, and the whole thing would have been a monumental waste of time. So I thought, no, I've got to put it right. So I unpicked all the slip stitch, I unpicked the kitchener on the back of the neck, unpicked all the weaving in, and just, you know, separated it all again from the beginning. And I did most of that watching a lovely BBC Alba documentary on the Mountain Bothies Association. So if you're interested in that sort of thing, I suggest you go and find it. It was lovely, fantastic scenery, great people. It was just really soothing. So then I started again, but I made the executive decision I was going to use mattress stitch. I love mattress stitch. I think of it, it's like a magic stitch. It's amazing. You pull that yarn taut and the seam just melts away into the fabric of your knitting. It's fantastic. Also, I know how to do it and it goes well. And I had decided that even if that slip stitch did give you this lovely flat finish, it just wasn't worth it because, you know, the effect on the front of the knitting was disastrous. So the long and short of it is that what I've done so far has turned out beautifully, and it was a huge relief. Undoing the kitchener stitching at the back of the neck turned into a complete dog's breakfast, partly because the acrylic, yarn that I'm using isn't terribly forgiving when you have to unpick it. It comes apart and it does that thing where it sort of stays as yarn, but it's almost wound itself in the wrong direction, so you've just got strands, and oh, it was pain. I even managed to start undoing the binding off at the top of the back in the process of trying to undo this kitchener. I ultimately got it sorted out, but so that's a lesson to me. I was just so desperate to finish. That's why I went and sort of got it all as almost completely finished. The thing I'd not done was sew the buttons on the front. So I was just so desperate that I wanted it to be right, and it was almost mind over matter. If I seam the back of the neck and I weave all the ends in, then it will be okay. But, you know, it wasn't. So where I'm at just now, I have to finish unpicking the second half of the band and mattress stitch that onto the front, and sew on some buttons. And I bagged a fantastic charity shop bargain a few months ago. It's a bright green sandwich raincoat. It's very light, you know, it's not for wearing in November, but it's great for April showers. It was £2, it's pristine. But I didn't think the buttons suited it very well. They were just a very plain, sort of like faux horn type button. They were very, very boring for such a lively raincoat, so I got some green flower buttons, put those on. But obviously I kept the buttons that I took off. And they're the perfect style for this cardigan, because in my opinion this cardigan doesn't want funky buttons. This cardigan just wants a nice sort of fake horn is great, because I've knitted it in cream. It's a slight granddad effect, if you like, but that's okay, it works. So that's, it was a very satisfying bit of repurposing. I mentioned in the intro about being serially unfaithful, and I am talking, of course, of knitting projects. In the last episode, I'm fairly sure it was, I talked about starting March Basic before I'd finished Of the Sea, and this seems to be turning into a habit, because I've cast on another project while March Basic is still on the needles, but I have a good excuse, or a very bad excuse, depending on how you want to look at it. While I was seaming the sides and sleeves of March Basic towards the end of last week, I spilt tea on it. And bear in mind, the cardigan is cream and I drink black tea, so you can imagine how delighted I was with myself when I did that. At this point, the front band stitches, the very first row that you sort of launch off from, they were still on stitch holders, just to do with how the cardigan is made, so I couldn't put it through the washing machine, particularly as my husband had to fix the washing machine for me last week. He pulled all manner of things out of the pump. You know, I'm only just stopping short of Lord Lucan, to be honest. It's quite embarrassing. So I just couldn't risk putting this in the machine, and I had to soak it overnight. I only soaked the affected sleeve, but because I didn't want to really wring the knitting, and I couldn't spin it, so I obviously sort of like padded it as dry as I could, but it was still holding a lot of water, so it took literally about 4 days to dry over a rack. I didn't want to lose all that knitting time, as I have a mental list of cardigans that I want to knit for this winter, as long as your arm. So I decided to make a start on the next one that's in my mental line. And I decided on one called Pasadena. This is another Aran cardigan, and I've only just noticed it's also by the Barocco design team. In the pattern photograph, it's in a beautiful red colour, but I don't have red, I have purple. So that's what I'm using. And I've got several purple tops. It's not strictly accurate, but I have several tops that are somewhere on the purple spectrum. wildly differing colours, really, but they will all work with a purple cardigan. It's yarn I got from Aldi a couple of years ago, I think originally, because my son wanted a jumper in that colour, and he's a small 8-year-old, so I've no idea why I bought 800 grams, but there you go. So that's what I'm using. March Basic was drying, I cast on for Pasadena, and I made good progress with it, including a 6-inch deep rib section. I need a rib klaxon, I think. I'll see if I can set up a sound effect for next time. I can see already, interestingly, that I prefer the knitting texture on Pasadena to March Basic. It's a closer knit. Off the top of my head, I can't remember what size the needles are, but they must be at least a 0.5 millimeter size down, a 5 to a 5.5, or a 5.5 to a 6, something like that. I like that closer knit. I just think it gives a slightly more elegant finish, given that we're talking in the context of an Aran jumper. I had really wanted to cast on for a DK project, because talking of an elegant finish, I actually prefer quite fine knits, really, given the choice. And I had a couple of patterns printed out for a couple of years, things I'd spotted and, in my enthusiasm, printed out. Somehow, because I keep a lot of things electronically, I've only got 2 folders of printed out patterns, which I think is quite restrained. But one of them is patterns I've printed out but never actually made. There's unfortunately quite a lot of things in that folder, because I get all enthusiastic, and then when it comes to it, for some reason, I don't end up making this thing. Usually because I run out of time. It's a present. There's lots of things like hot water bottle covers and, you know, gloves and things like that in it. So I pulled out a couple of those, couple of sort of jacket cum cardigan sort of things that I've wanted to make. But the one that I really wanted to cast on needed a 3.25 millimeter needle. And I appeared not to have any 3.25 millimeter needles, which did surprise me. So I just went berserk and I ordered a pair of Knitpro Nova 3.25s. I would have liked cubics, but I think they do them that small. Interestingly, it never occurred to me to see whether I had straight needles at 3.25mm, and I'm sure I do. Probably, and fair enough, some really nasty, heavy old metal ones, because when I was first knitting again 4 or 5 years ago, I found an old set in charity shop and pounced on it. But of course, you know, compared to nice, light, small, warm wooden interchangeables, they're really horrible to use. So it never occurred to me to cast on with those, because this is knit in the flat, this particular cardigan. So I was really delighted when these new needles arrived, not because I was about to cast on for this top, because by then I'd decided to get going on Pasadena, but I haven't had any new needles since Christmas, all of 8 months. That's quite long enough. And partly in their honour, I wanted to tidy up my interchangeables wallet. Now, I spoke quite a while ago now about keeping my interchangeable needles tidy, because somebody on Instagram had posted a picture of herself doing some knitting as a passenger in the car, and she had her interchangeables wallet on her lap, and that was in the picture as she was taking the picture of the actual knitting. And I was so impressed at how tidy it was that I made a comment, and I you know, I can't remember exactly what I said, but was words to the effect of, wow, that's tidy. Do you undo your needles and put them away and put the cables away every time you've finished with them? And she said, yeah, definitely, every time. And I thought, oh, well, you know, I need to sort of up my game here a bit. So ever since then, I have kept them sort of largely sorted out, but it had become a little bit scrappy around the edges, and I had also begun to just stuff fixed needles into the wallet, because the wallet has sort of like divisions around the edges that, and you can, it's quite grippy, which is quite good. So if you stuff a pair of stuff a circular needle into these side things, they don't loll around as they might in a fabric, because it's plastic, it's got a little bit, wee bit of friction, that's quite good. But it was beginning to look like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, to be honest, with all these cables lurching out of it. So, you know, I decided the time had come. And my son won in a raffle at school in the summer, so appropriate for an 8-year-old boy. He'd won a toiletry set. I can't use them, I have endless skin problems, and I can never use things like that. So I don't know what he'd have given to his sister, probably. And he still had the wallet, which was a clear zip-up wallet. And he gave it to me the other day and said, you could put knitting needles in this. I was absolutely right. So what I decided to do was to put my fixed circulars into it. And I'm also hanging on to an old swimming goggles case of his, because it strikes me as ideal for putting needles into if you're travelling. Because, you know, a goggles case is hard, so the needles inside, they can't escape, they can't prod you. The thing clips shut very securely, and it's the ideal size for certainly for interchangeables. So as I tidied all this up, I found myself again wanting a simple way of keeping track of my needles. Now, I know the obvious thing to do is use the Ravelry needle inventory tool. I don't know if you've ever looked at this feature on Ravelry, but it's always scared me, quite frankly. But I wasn't going to be put off this time. And I had a look at it again. I was psyched up for it. I'm gonna beat this time. But, you know, I sort of opened it up and it was like, oh my god, it looks like maths. But when you actually look at it, it's very straightforward. It's just a simple spreadsheet, online spreadsheet, really. It's a grid, so it's split into types of needles: straight, DPN, circular, and then diameter of the actual pin. The only thing is, unless I've misunderstood, which is quite possible, it doesn't cater for interchangeables. So, for example, you can log only that you have, for instance, a 40-inch 4mm circular needle, but not that you have a set of 4mm interchangeable tips with a cable that works out to 40 inches once you've added the tips. It's better than nothing, but it did have me thinking that I might create a spreadsheet that will allow me to log my interchangeable tips and my cables separately, which makes me a really sad nerd. But if I had that, it would mean that I wouldn't order 3.25mm interchangeable tips and then discover that not only did I already have exactly the needles I'd just bought, but that I also already had a fixed circular set in that size. I mean, albeit really nasty, horrible old ones, but nonetheless, I did have some. There you go, never mind. I'm sure they'll come in useful at some point, and it was quite a thrill ordering them and receiving them. As well as my slip stitch seaming problems this week, I also had a seaming success. I've talked before about the sleeves on Hertz, a top that I made earlier in the year, and you can listen to that if you want to hear what my reservations were about the bifurcated sleeve. And so I seamed the top edge of it the other day, and it's turned out really well. I put some pictures of that on Instagram. I did an after and a before, and it's not absolutely perfect because the way that the sleeves are constructed means you can only seam to a point, and then they just fall away. They're too much of a... you imagine two circles next to each other, and after the circles have met at the middle edge, they fall away from each other, and it's the same concept on this sleeve. So there comes a point where you just can't seam anymore because they just want to be too far apart from each other. But nonetheless, it's made all the difference because it means I can now put a cardigan over the top without having to tuck the separate parts of the sleeve under it. And then before, every time I moved, they sort of they rolled under again. That's a real pain. I made Hertz in a 5-ply yarn, and I had considered that if I used a double strand, then I could make myself a cardigan in the same yarn that to an Aran pattern, so I'd have a sort of like a twin set. But when I looked into it, I realised I just didn't have nearly enough of this 5-ply in order to do that, which was a bit of a shame. Hertz is a perfect example of a purplish top. It's actually a lilac marl, but under a sort of winter Aran purple cardigan, such as the Pasadena that I've cast on for, it'll be fine. But I'm sure I'll find another use for this 5-ply. I've got in my head, I've got a list of cowls that I'd like to make, or some mittens, or even some wrist warmers. So I'd certainly have enough to double up to make something like a hat or a cowl in an Aran weight. You can tell the weather's become a bit cooler here because, you know, it's all, thoughts are all about heavier jumpers and winter mufflements. Particularly in the evenings is when you really notice it. During the day it can actually be quite nice, quite mild, but in the evenings you definitely notice that temperature start to drop. So my husband has been wearing Off the Sea literally every day since I made it, and it looks really nice on him, and he likes it, so that's definitely been a big success. And the other evening, he was asking me lots of questions about yarns, about weights, and about different fibre mixes, and how they behave, and what types of jumper tend to be knitted from what weight of yarn, and how much is reasonable to pay for a good quality yarn, and all this sort of stuff. And he is Mr. Research. If we ever need to buy anything of any value, you know, he will go off and do the sort of research that would send me into a coma, but he gets really into all that kind of thing. And he began looking online for yarn in a sort of like a black or a charcoal or even a real jewel red, so that I could make him another one. And I think I might need therapy before I can face all that ribbing again, but I'm a yarn whore, so I'd do it just for the stash. And to be honest, he's enjoyed wearing it so much that I think that would carry me through. It's been lovely to talk to you, but I must now go back to my maternal duties. Both of my children are off school with a sickness bug. My 8-year-old, unfortunately, is very much worse than my teenager, but we've had a lull for a little while. So rather than emptying the dishwasher and putting washing on the line, I have spent that lull talking about knitting, and I'm not even sorry. So enjoy your week. I hope it's a good deal less eventful and sicky than mine, and I will speak to you soon with a pattern review of March Basic, among other things. Bye!